morning. We're glad you're out on this rainy morning. I think any morning we get up, it's been more rain and clouds and sunshine here lately, but I guess come summertime, we'll be glad we had this surplus of rain. Do we have any first-time visitors here this morning? Any first-time visitors? No? Okay. Again, we want to welcome everyone here. The announcements this morning, most of them are self-explanatory, but just to touch on a few, I think we've had a change in newsletter personnel, hadn't we, Beverly? I read the begging on when I got my email. Please! So, but we're glad you... I don't know if you... Did Larry volunteer you to do this, or did he say... Because I thought nobody pushes Beverly into doing anything, not that I knew. So, no. But, again, instead of Julie, if you have anything for the newsletter, Beverly Medlin is now in charge of that, so if you could... tell her anything that you need to go in the newsletter, and thank you again for undertaking that, Beverly. Consignment sale, clothing sale is coming up in about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. So if you've not already talked to Karen about working, please see her to do so. Yes. Yes.
We didn't realize it when we first scheduled it, but we think it might we'll get a few more customers for the clothing sale while the kids are hunting Easter eggs. But we are in need of pink.
No chocolate though, right?
No chocolate.
Nothing that'll melt. Do you need Easter eggs?
Well, candy filled eggs.
Okay. Would you rather the Easter eggs be filled when they get here? Would that help you out?
Yes, it would, but if they're not, that's okay. Fill them before and fill them again.
Okay. All right, so remember the Easter egg hunt, March 12th. Larry, do you want to talk about that? I wasn't going to talk much. You want to talk about it. Okay.
We have a board here. I want to mention the board. What is this piece of paper? What's it all about? Well, we kind of put it out of the way, and you probably can't see it, but this is what we're doing through the Lenten season. Every night here, every Wednesday night, we're looking at the scriptures. This week, it'll be 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 2, 5. That's all those scriptures lessons for this morning. Last week we shared some ideas, dreams, and visions, only on paper. Nobody's looked at them yet. There's no one. They were not a secret, but nobody just sat down to go through them. We will do some sharing of the four ideas, dreams, and visions this Wednesday night. We will do some clarifying and possibly get this on the note cards placed in different places on a large board kind of put together. So that's, we won't take any more than that at this time. But you can read as this goes with this goes with this, how to clarify is the study, analyze, summarize, that's explained right here. So if you're wondering what this board is, we're glad that you're wondering and hope that you will join us Wednesday night at 6:45. If we got through by 8 o'clock, did we not? Where were we going by 8 o'clock?
No, it's about 10 after before we got gone.
Y'all stood around and talked for a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that right? We were free by about, we went in time you want to, of course.
It was actually about 5 after when we finished, yeah.
And there was, we had a discussion group, what, 6 discussion groups, 5 or 6?
Yeah.
And we couldn't be able to stop. So if you want to come get into the discussion groups, you may get to talking and you want to go on till midnight.
Thank you, Larry. Please be sure and fill out the RSVP in the bulletin for the dinner on Wednesday night before the service begins. Are there any other announcements? No other announcements? Please make sure and fill out the attendance pads that Joyce has passed out to record your attendance. Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
I have one.
Sam?
The brother of Carol Medley, who is the executive director of our Christmas Friends Camp, her brother is having some problems. We need to put him on prayer.
What's his name?
Kent
Berger?
Ken.
Ken. I put my aunt on the prayer list last week. She was going to start treatment for leukemia. Well, they only were able to give her 3 shots because she was so sick, but now she's lost her sight, which is one of the side effects. So we don't know if it'll come back. We don't know anything. So please continue to lift my aunt up. Her name is Ruby Justice. Are there others? If not, please pray for those that have been mentioned this morning. Pray for our armed forces, wherever they may be. Pray for our discernment as we go through the next 4 weeks. Pray for the Lord's will, that He will guide us in the way that we need to go. If you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If everyone will turn in their bulletins. Oh, give thanks to God. Call on God's name. Make known God's deed among the peoples. Sing to God. Sing praises to God. Tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let us worship God.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 505, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Thankful loving servitude to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Today, love lifted. could have love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could have love lifted me.
Let us bow our heads and pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, You came loving us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners. But God, we know that You didn't start Your love with Jesus. You just revealed it in such a way that it would be unmistakable. Thank You for going to such great lengths to tell us, to show us that You really do love us. Lord, we know that You have loved us from before we were created. And we thank You, Father, that we have a loving God, a loving Father, and that You reach down in Your love to lift us from a world of sin. Thank You for the rescue. Father, we thank You that You didn't just rescue us and leave us by ourselves, but that You help us along the way. And Lord, we pray that this hour would be, maybe for some, a time of rescue. A time when they reach up and will take Your hand and allow You, through Jesus, to lift them to a new realm of life. And then for others of us, Father, we pray that it will be instruction and encouragement to climb to another rung on the ladder, a higher rung. Thank You for calling us to worship You. Thank You for wanting us to come into Your presence. Thank You for people who will unite, having heard Your voice, and offer praise and adoration to You, and listen to Your word, and make commitments of ourselves unto Your kingdom's work. Lord, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. If you want to follow along in your hymnal, it is page 760. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
everybody nice and warm this morning? Does anybody need it turned down? Okay, thank you. If somebody could take care of that.
All right. Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 493, one of my personal favorites, too. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? I certainly hope so. I bring you greetings from the Board of Missions of the denomination. We had a two-day meeting Thursday. Well, I actually got there Thursday, but the meeting was Friday and Saturday. Our Board of Missions is doing great work, and I bring you greetings from them. Let's sing first and last.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
I'm a soldier of the cross, hymn 480.
Express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 36, verse 3. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Father, we thank you for all the gifts you have given us personally. Father, we thank you for the way that you have blessed this church. We hope, Father, you will receive this time from our hearts. Continue to bless us. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Scripture lesson this morning will be read by Jeffrey Semening.
We read this morning from Corinthians 1, 18 and 2-5. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded miraculous signs, and Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one man may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And from Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
If you've got a handout sheet with a sermon outline on the front, on one side, it may be the back to you. You can also find questions for discussion on the back. For the Wednesday night group or anyone else, these will be the questions that will be presented this Wednesday night for study and for consideration. And we ask that you use them during the week if you want to get ahead. Or if you're not able to be here on Wednesday night, would like to participate anyway, you can take this scripture lesson and try to discuss those questions with yourself, or might call someone on the telephone and discuss them. Now, I don't claim that the sermon this morning that we're about to get into would speak to these questions too much, but they kind of do. They kind of do, based on the same scripture lesson. I wonder if you notice what kind of people came into the church in Corinth. What kind of people came into the church in Corinth? Did you notice? Not people of great influence, were they? Some of them were pretty common folk. The church did not begin with the influential people of the community. The church began with people of non-noble birth, or the church in Corinth did. God chose the foolish things, as Paul refers to them, to shame the wise. The weak things to shame the strong. So God takes that simple, common, and makes it glorious. Think about the cross. The cross. Someone said, I forget who, that the cross that Jesus was nailed to was not the cross that we see in our church or any church on a communion table or an altar between two candles. The cross. We think about the old rugged cross. How many of you like that song? Just really like it. We sing about the wondrous cross. We sing about being at the cross. That's where we first saw the light, was it not? It had to be at the cross if we saw the light of Jesus shining through that cross. We sing about living near the cross. We sing about being beneath the cross. And we sing about glorying in the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ I glory. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church concerning the cross and Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Speaking of Jesus being found in the form or in the appearance of a man. Being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Quite a contrast from death on a cross to being the name that all Christians revere, claim, look up to. Even when we pray to God the Father, we pray in that name. The Hebrew writer, the writer of the book of Hebrews, speaks of fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's an invitation, it's a call, or it's an urging to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, for what was out there, he endured the cross. And we may would have to have lived in the day of the cross being used as an instrument of execution to comprehend what it was that he endured. Despising the shame of the cross, it was not a glorious thing, despising the shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a contrast. The shame of the cross, a criminal's death, and then was elevated to the right hand of the throne of God. And then in Galatians, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "But may it never be that I should boast." And Paul had a lot to boast about, even in his ability to write, not his ability to speak. He was evidently, according to his own testimony, a not so eloquent speaker, but he got the message over. And he preached often. He didn't stop preaching because he wasn't so eloquent, but he was a great writer. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. In our minds, the cross is a beautiful thing. Right? Look at it. The one before us. It's quite attractive. If we wear one around our neck or on our charm bracelet, it's attractive. Very pretty. We see the cross as something to be cherished. We see the cross as something to be loved. And that song that we didn't sing, the third verse, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but in whole, nailed to the cross, and I bury it no more." Beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful. When we start enumerating our sin, or our sins, if you will, when we start acknowledging them, the cross is so beautiful to us. But that was not the case in Jesus' day, and that was not the case in the Apostle Paul's day, except in the Apostle Paul's day, if they had become a beautiful thing to a very few, those who had experienced the saving power of the cross. That's when it takes on its beauty. That's when it gains its new meaning. That's when it is transformed from an object of execution to something through which we know that we were redeemed by Jesus being on it. that the cross could be a thing of beauty was unthinkable to those who lived in Corinth or any other place where the Romans were in power. Paul says it, that the cross was foolishness to those who are perishing. A stumbling block to the Jews. Mention the cross and they'd say, no, never. God wouldn't have anything to do with the cross. They'd stumble over it. They couldn't accept it in their mind that God could use a cross to redeem mankind. Because they were looking for a Jesus or a Messiah, a Christ, in the form of David, a successful one, the military leader, as Richard reminded the men yesterday morning. They didn't believe their own scriptures. They kept looking for not somebody who died on a cross, but somebody who beat everybody else up. So the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews and to those wise, intelligent, deep-thinking Corinthians. It was foolishness. Foolishness to the Greeks or the Gentiles. Nothing was glorious about the cross before Jesus was crucified on it. Nothing was glorious about the cross until Jesus honored it. And before Jesus honored it, it was nothing more than an instrument of death. Did any of you happen to watch The Green Mile last night? Or maybe you have seen it previously. I watched it, portions of it. They kept showing the electric chair. They called it Old Sparky. Old Sparky. They kept practicing how to use it. They'd go through an exercise, just like they had a condemned person, because they had some people to condemn. They kept polishing it. Did you notice how they kept polishing it? Shining on it? They were getting it ready for an execution. But would any of us, or any of you, want to wear a miniature electric chair on a necklace? We would think, how cruel. Or would any of us want a miniature gas chamber? Not too long ago, I read Grisham's book, The Chamber, about a man going to the gas chamber. Or would any of you want to wear on your necklace? I'm not just talking to women. Men wear necklaces too, see. Would any of us want a symbol of a firing squad? 3 rifles or 7 rifles? Crucifixion. That's what death on the cross was called. You've probably heard it before. But a medical doctor describes a crucifixion. He says, the cross is placed on the ground and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of his wrist. He drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and some movement. Stretch your arms out like that, if you will, if you feel like it. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right foot, with both feet extended, toes down, and a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails and the wrists, excruciating fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrists are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places the full weight of the nail through his feet. He places the full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. Do you want to go on? Maybe we should stop there. I don't like the sound of that. Do you? It's almost too bad to read in public, isn't it? So I'll stop. Crucifixion on a cross. Death on a cross. Reserved for the worst criminals. It was a means of showing extreme contempt. Extreme contempt for the condemned. The suffering, as well as the humiliation, the pain and the embarrassment. The worst of worst deaths. You couldn't get any worse. The suffering and the humiliation of a Roman crucifixion was unequaled. Cruel and unusual punishment. There are better ways to take a man's life. And Jesus, God's Son who was without sin, died on a cross. Crucified, we call it. Someone listed an order of events. It went something like this. There was the arrival at the place of the skull, we call it Golgotha or Calvary. Different writers call it different. He was offered a numbing drink, a drink that would numb the pain some. Then the crucifixion that we read about, the cry as he was on the cross, the cry of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The soldiers parting the garments and then gambling over one, Jesus being mocked, a person on each side of Jesus, one of them railing at him, screaming at him, "Why don't you take us down?" Another one putting his faith in Jesus. Jesus saying to the thief that repents and asks for mercy, asks to be remembered, he offers forgiveness and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He cried to his friend concerning his mother. He cried to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And then the darkness came over. He cried to his mother, to his friend concerning his mother. Then he cried out, probably the most awful cry, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then it was, "I am thirsty." And then it is finished. Followed by, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he dismisses the spirit. Were you there? Were you there at the crucifixion? You were. Jesus had you in mind when he died. And he had me in mind. Why did he do it? He did it for us. Not for the crimes that he had done, but for mine, for yours. And the world would think that it was a foolish message to proclaim. The world would think it was a foolish thing for Jesus to do. The world would think the people who preached this were crazy. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And God took the wisdom of the world and brought it to nothing. And He frustrated the intelligence of the intelligent. And He used what the world would call foolish to save the world. Christ crucified. That's the high point of the church's message. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we are to proclaim, to share. That's what we're to believe unto salvation. Can we preach this that the world calls foolishness? Christ and Him crucified. That's what the church is called to do. Hear these verses. Verse 26 from 1 Corinthians 1. Brothers, think of you. I think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the low things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And then move down to chapter 2 and verse 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the main point of the Bible. That's the main point of Jesus' life. Love lifted us. Now let's sing about our love for Him. It's 529. Let's proclaim it in song to one another and to God. But let's share it also out in the world. We love Him because He first loved us. 529. Let's stand together and sing. Maybe your response is public this morning. If it is, please come and share that. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Nobody will call you foolish in this place. I'll meet you here at the altar if you desire to come for a public expression of your faith in Jesus.
I love to hear. Thank you.
It wasn't an intentional lie. It was a mistake. Mistake, Melody, mistake. Now, what would I do?
What's she going
to
do?
Well, she's going to have to make do.
Well, we can do without the projector.
Well, you can't take it loose. It's got a hole drilled through it with a wire coming through it.
No. No.
It's all.
It's been that way for months.
Call her at the house and tell her to see if she's got one at home. Because she uses hers at home, or she. I think
she said she could bring
the person home, but she uses it there. Yeah. Her daughter has
to use it for violin practice, so before she leaves that house,
she
should not
have
it. Did she need it
this morning? Yeah. Yeah. That's why
she's not going to be here. Well, I lied.
Thank you.
I know. Wednesday. Remember Wednesday. Remember what happened Wednesday. So.
Oh,
Okay.
Thank you.